with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy Rick.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we're going to get into a little of this turkey stuff, so we're going to start right off with it. Bob kids me about shepherd's pie because I enjoy it. It's kind of a hobo dish a little bit, and what I mean by that is it's a mishmash of a lot of different things.
And then we'll actually talk about the enchiladas I've been trying all to right, talk about for right. 2 seconds.
But this will be real quick because basically what you're doing is you're putting some leftover turkey and some vegetables, whatever you like, as a filling. This is kind of like a pot pie with no crust. It's just got mashed potatoes on the top of it. Right,
and you can find recipes. Most people have had shepherd's pie.
Yeah, you can find recipes all over the internet.
It's an old school dish.
Yeah,
it was always done with ground beef in the past.
Right. Yep. And you can do it with turkey. Right. So you're putting the mashed potatoes on top, and the filling, again, carrots. I like a vegetable that I grew up with my dad growing them in the garden.
Rutabaga.
No, parsnips. Parsnips.
Similar.
Right. And they're a root vegetable, but they've got, when they're cooked, they get a little bit of a sugar that's in them that caramelizes on the outside of them a little bit. Oh, man, they're just
probably
different.
Pretty healthy for you, well, too.
I'm sure they are. I don't know the
Middle Eastern folks like to pickle those and slice them and serve them with their foods.
Yeah.
And I love them.
Right. They're very good.
No, those are turnips, actually. They're similar to turnips, aren't they?
They are. They're all in the same family.
Yeah.
But I remember that the ground would be frozen, and my dad would go out in the middle of the winter and take a pitchfork, but it was a wide blade pitchfork, not the pointy ones, and he'd pop the parsnips out of the ground, and he always harvested them after the ground had frozen. And for some reason, he said that freezing of the vegetable made it sweeter. And I'll never forget that, because the garden was done and dead, and that row of parsnips right there, he knew right where they were.
So you're going to dice these things up?
Yep, dice them up, throw them in there with some carrots, and then, you know, you've got all kinds of any juice you want to, you can use.
Might want to throw
white wine,
some frozen peas in with
it. Yeah, yeah, whatever you
some
like.
Cornholio.
However. But anyway, I'm not going to go through a recipe, but you can find this. But it's just a great use of leftovers because you can put the turkey in there and put the potatoes on top. You're making a whole new dish. Look it up on this one, the one I'm looking at came from Food Network. I like their stuff. They've got great recipes, and they're all online and they're free.
You know who's out there right now is my daughter Emily. She's working for the Food Network in New York.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's a makeup artist, and she's been doing this whole next season, and she gets done in the middle of December.
Right.
And then they have a big season end party.
Well, sure they do.
She's flying my wife out there to party with her with the whole crew,
so
the whole
she
staff.
She does makeup on the network stars or on the food, because the food looks good. So she's doing makeup on.
She could do that, but because she's a wonderful
cook.
She's
a chef, yeah.
Yeah.
I always wondered how they made that look so good.
Yeah, well.
Food stylist.
Yes. But anyway, funny about the Food Network.
Right.
And she, of course, her husband works for HGTV, and now she's doing them, so. I think we'll get nothing out of it.
Turkey enchilada, maybe.
Yeah.
Tell us about one.
You know, if I put that turkey into a Mexican flavor profile, it turns into more like chicken, and then I can handle it. As long as there's no turkey gravy or stuffing, I'm so done with it after Thanksgiving. I might do one leftover meal the day after, but that's about it. So, it's going to have some onion, garlic EVO, garlic, a bunch of turkey, cream cheese, green chilies.
Ooh.
I don't know. Do you make your own enchilada sauce, or do you just buy the El Paso?
Well, I don't know if it's El Paso, but I buy it.
I
like
Matador.
The green.
Oh.
I like the green.
Okay, so that's a verde.
Rather than the red.
Yep. Well, that's a good way to go, too. And this recipe that I ripped off the internet here calls for the green enchilada. And you don't have to do green enchilada sauce just because it's a white meat. Most restaurants and recipes, when they go to a chicken, they always go green. I've done it with traditional enchilada sauce. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of prefer it because it's got a lot of tomato and cumin and garlic, and it kills that Thanksgiving taste that's still stuck in my mouth three days later. But yeah, and that's it. So you get the big flour tortillas, warm them up, get your skillet out, warm them on that skillet one at a time before you try rolling them, mm-hmm. because it softens them up.
Right. Well, and I like putting a little flavor profile. I've shared that with you before, that lime EVO, that extra virgin olive oil. Our friends at Old World have a lime-flavored one, and it is really good on a tortilla. Just gives a
yeah,
little hint of
but
flavor.
You're not going to fry these. You're going to put them in a pan dry.
Okay. All right.
Just
to warm them up to make them
pliable.
I mean,
you could if you wanted to add more fat, but typically we're all trying to
fat's flavor, though,
cut that out. Yeah. Anyway, I'll post the recipe after I cook it. I haven't tried it yet.
Right.
But I don't know. I Mexican food to me, I like Mexican now more than barbecue. Isn't that funny?
Really?
Yeah.
On this show?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
Well, you know what? Yeah, you can't eat barbecue every day.
No.
Right? I get
no,
that.
No, I've eaten so much of it that I'm moving to, you know, and Asian food, Korean, Chinese, Japanese. I mean, I crave that. I don't crave butts and briskets anymore. I just don't.
Well,
or ribs.
Right.
I can't even fathom making ribs anymore because I don't want to eat them.
Yeah. They've jumped up in price, ribs.
Yeah.
I've looked at it. They, one of the boys at that hockey game I talked about in the first segment wanted to know if we were having ribs. And I'm like, I don't think so. I didn't rob a bank on the way over here. But
yeah.
Right.
Seeing the way you horses.
Right.
If I could count on you to eat the bone and everything, I might.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, you were talking about cryovacking and sous vide. When the kitchen was still doing takeout service, a couple nights, I did ribs, and I made a whole bunch of them. And so the leftovers each night I took and cut them up in – I cut the slabs in half, so you got about 6 ribs. And I put them in a bag, put some of that homemade barbecue sauce on them, and I cryovacked them, and I threw them in the freezer. I did a sampling for an event last weekend, and what I did is I pulled a brisket out, I pulled a bag of butt out. All this stuff had been cryovacked, and I sous vide it, and except the ribs. I opened the ribs up because I wanted to cut them up into individual, which is a really nice way if you have few ribs, cut them up into individual ribs. And then I made some fresh beans, some fresh mac and cheese, stuff like that. And the guy wrote me the most glowing letter. He said, we are going to put you on as a preferred vendor. He said, that's some of the best food I've ever had. That was out of the freezer. And yeah. I told him, I said, I don't have the kitchen today, and I can't just do a whole brisket and a whole butt so you can have one little taste. I could, but
right.
I'm out of refrigerator and freezer space here. I need to get some stuff gone. He was so happy with it. So that's the power of this whole cryovacking that you brought up, and mm-hmm. that's why it's so important. It was a great point you made, that how you care for your food when you put it away, and this is like Thanksgiving Day or Christmas Day or whatever. Everybody's tired and bloated, trying to get out of the kitchen so they don't have to do the food work.
Right.
That's when you got to take the time.
Yep.
And you got to do the heavy lifting, because there's a lot of money right there, especially Christmas. We do prime rib. You want to care for those proteins properly. That stuff's $20 a pound, the stuff we get.
Right. Yep. And you know, when you're getting ready to store this stuff, a couple tips is make room in your fridge before you know you're going to have leftovers. You know, try to eat up some of the stuff that's in there, because this stuff takes a lot of room.
It does.
And if you put warm food in there, it's going to warm the whole refrigerator up.
Yeah.
It can't recover that quickly.
And you might have even a cooler you can put on in the garage or in the back deck and throw everything in there.
Yep, and throw some ice in it. And you don't have to let it come to room temperature before you put it in there. It can go in there warm and let it cool down. But just remember that it will heat up your refrigerator if you put stuff in there that's too warm. But anyway, and then...
So I'll tell you what. One of the things that I want to talk about in the next segment is this favorite sandwich I used to make. And I got the recipe from Arby's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We had that chef on last week, and he was a professional chef. Well, you know, classically trained, and he worked for those big restaurants, right?
Yeah.
Remember that? So there's merit to those recipes.
Absolutely.
All right. So coming up next, Bob's going to Arby's. Stick with us. We'll be back.